Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, chapter entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhas, text number 48 and 49. Vayam Twiha Mahayogin. Brahmanta Kama Bhatmasu. Twadvartaya Tarishyamas. Tavakair Dustaram Tamaha. Vayam.
We.
Tu. On the other hand. Iha. In this world. Mahayogin. O greatest of yogis. Brahmanta, wandering. Karma Bhatmasu, on the paths of material work.
Twat,
of you.
Vataya,
by discussion of the topics.
Tarishyama,
will cross over.
Tavakai,
along with your devotees. Dustaram, insurmountable. Tamaha, darkness. Let us read text 49. Smaranta kirtiyantaste kritani. Just me. Smaranta kirtiyantaste kirtan. No, kritani gaditani cha. Gatyu smitekshana shweli. Yanri loka vidambanam. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. O greatest of mystics, although we are conditioned souls, wandering on the path of fruitive work, we will certainly cross beyond the darkness of this material world simply by hearing about your lordship and the association of your devotees. Thus we are always remembering and glorifying the wonderful things you do and the wonderful things you say. We ecstatically recall your amorous pastimes with your confidential conjugal devotees and how you boldly smile and move about while engaged in such youthful pastimes. My dear Lord, your loving pastimes are bewilderingly similar to the activities of ordinary people within this material world. Purport. In this verse, Uddhava, by stating Brahmanta Kama Vatmasu, humbly presents himself as one of the conditioned souls entangled in fruitive activities. Still, Uddhava is confident that he will certainly cross over the illusory energy because he is addicted to chanting and remembering the glorious activities and words of Lord Krishna. Similarly, Rupa Goswami has stated, Iha yasya hare dasye kamana manasagira Nikila swapya vastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. Although one may outwardly appear to be involved in this material world, if one is always engaged 24 hours a day in the service of Lord Krishna, then one is considered to be a liberated soul. Uddhava states here that hearing and chanting the holy name and pastimes of Krishna is indefinitely more effective than becoming a naked yogi in the forest and running the constant risk of becoming, due to nasty, lusty desires and sexual indulgence, a naked monkey in the forest. Uddhava is begging the Lord for the mercy of his Sudarshan Chakra, whose effulgence is represented by the process of remembering and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. One who absorbs himself in the incomparable bliss of thinking of the Lord's abode easily becomes free from all lamentation, illusion and fear. That is the recommendation of Sri Uddhava. Omagyan, Timarandasya, Gyananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Vedantikam. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Petitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namonamaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Uddhava, he understood that Krishna was going to leave this world. He was staying in Dwarka with Krishna and with all the Yadu dynasty. And they saw that there was inauspicious omens taking place, that things were beginning to deteriorate within Dwarka, which is the Lord's eternal abode. Just like there were some pillars and so forth, and stones were falling from the pillars, inauspicious things. So they could tell that at that point in time, they saw these inauspicious omens around Dwarka, the Yadu dynasty could tell that Krishna was soon going to leave this world. That was what Uddhava surmised. So Uddhava went to Krishna and he said, I see inauspicious omens in the holy Dham of Dwarka. He said, this is not possible. How can there be anything inauspicious while you are present? He said, this means that you must, to me, I understand that this means that you must be soon leaving this world. So Krishna said, yes, it is a fact. I'm soon going to leave this world. My pastimes are finished now. I'm winding up my pastimes. And my dynasty is about to destroy itself, like that. So Uddhava said, he said that if you leave this world, I do not want to stay here any longer. I cannot bear your separation. I do not want to stay in this world if you are leaving. So then Krishna, he said to Uddhava, he said, actually, I desire that you stay. Because during my manifest pastimes, while I've been on earth, I've traveled all around India. Krishna went to Kurukshetra, he went to, I think it's called Mithila, to see, who was there? Bahuvashwa and Shripadev. Right, so he's travelled throughout India somewhat, right, he's travelled different parts of India, and he's gone to Hastinapur many, many times, to Delhi, to central India, like that. So he's travelled around India a certain extent, to give his association to different devotees. But Krishna never went to Badrik Ashram. He never went to the Himalayas, where great sages were living. Narayan Rishi and Vyasadeva and great sages were living up there in the Himalayas of Badrik Ashram. So he never actually went there. So he said to Uddhava, he said, I want you to go there. And I want you to give my teachings to the sages there, because they never received my direct darshan while I was here for 125 years on earth. So I want you to go there and to give some association and to give my instructions, and that will pacify them now that I'm about to disappear. So then Krishna spoke at this point in time, he spoke the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava, which is what we're about to begin in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. These are Krishna's instructions just before he leaves this world, which he gives to Uddhava. And then he says, now you give these teachings to the sages in Badrik Ashram and for all the residents of Kali Yuga. Because we're sitting here now 5,000 years later and Krishna has left this world. But we're about to hear Krishna's final conversation with Uddhava. So Krishna has left this conversation for our benefit, for the benefit of the sages in Badrik Ashram. So Krishna speaks the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. And then Uddhava begins to travel across India from Dwarka. He begins to go like northeast towards the Himalayas, going across to like the Jamuna and then heading up towards the Himalayas. And as he begins to travel, then he hears some message that the... Don, who do you think?
Okay.
Okay. he hears a message that the Yadu dynasty has gone to Prabhas. They all left and went to Prabhas to perform some jagya, like that. So then he understands what's about to take place. Even though Krishna has ordered him, you go to Bhadrak Ashram, that's his final instruction. But when he hears that they've all gone to Prabhas, and he understands what's about to take place, they're all about to be destroyed, then he turns around and he goes back to Prabhas Chetra. So then what happens is that he comes and he arrives at Prabhas Chetra just after the war is finished, and everyone is gone. And Krishna, at that time, just before he arrives, Krishna is the only one left. And Krishna goes and sits under a small banyan tree, and then just at that time, Uddhava arrives, just at that moment. So he arrives and he sits down, and then Krishna begins to speak to him a second time, like that. And then at that time, Maitreya Muni, who is the great sage, who we hear about in the beginning of the third canto, then Maitreya Muni, he comes and he sits next to them, and he listens to the conversation between Uddhava and Krishna at that time. And then that's what's in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. The third canto is Maitreya's teachings to Vidura. So that is the final conversation which Maitreya heard between Krishna and Uddhava. So at the end of that conversation, then Krishna asked Uddhava once again. He said, now go to Bhadrak Ashram and teach these teachings to the sages. So then he leaves and he goes to Bhadrak Ashram, and Krishna apparently receives an arrow within his foot and leaves this world. Like that. That's just a show of some yoga maya display. You can't shoot God. Not possible. You can't. How do you kill God? And what is a hunter doing in the forest after a battle? There was millions of warriors in the Yadu dynasty. Millions of warriors has had a huge battle. Right? Imagine if we walk out the temple and there's 6 million warriors having a battle. Right? So can you imagine there's some deer running around in the forest around that area? Why would a hunter be looking for deer? Hunting for deer around an area where there's just been an entire massacre. There wouldn't be any animals around. Everyone would just flee in fear. So it's just some pastime that Krishna performed to leave this world. And then the hunter was looking, and then he looks and he sees something through the bushes, and then he shoots his arrow like that, and the arrow goes and hits Krishna in the foot, and then Krishna leaves this world because he'd been shot in the foot by an arrow. He survived the whole battle of Kurukshetra. Right, Bhishma, the most powerful warrior on the earth, was shooting arrows into his body. Right, and that didn't kill him. Right, he just fought with Bakasura, Dantavakra, Shishupal, you name it. Who hasn't he fought? Who hasn't he killed? What hasn't he done? And then some hunter who's looking for deer next to a battlefield shoots him in the foot with one arrow, and then Krishna dies. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Right? So why did Krishna do this? To bewilder the atheists. Because the atheists always say that he's not God. People say, he's not God. How can he be God? He's just mythology. Or he's just an ordinary person. He's not God. He's not divine, like that. So Krishna says, okay, that's no problem. If that's how you think about me, then I'll reciprocate. Ye yata mam prapachanti tam stateva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So you think I'm ordinary? Okay, I'll die like an ordinary person. I just got shot in the foot by an arrow. I'm in so much pain now. I can't handle it anymore. Right? Dies. And then Krishna leaves a shell, material body. Not his body, because his body is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He leaves a material shell, and then all the atheists say, he's dead. He was just an ordinary person. He left a body like all of us. He's obviously ordinary, like that. So, if people are that, what does Krishna call those people in the Bhagavad Gita? Muta. What does Muta mean? Muta. If you call someone a mudha, what are you saying to them? You're a mudha. What does it mean? It means you're an ass. Right? If you think God dies because he got shot in the foot by a hunter's arrow, then you're an ass. It's a heavy insult. Right? Back in Vedic times, like these days, you know, you walk down to Port Melbourne and you hear people saying all sorts of things. Yeah. And they say all these, you know, disgusting things in public. But in Vedic culture, people don't speak like that. People don't say improper things. So if you in public, if you call someone a mudha, right, that's a very heavy criticism. You ass. You know, you're an ass. You're a mudha like that. You don't say like that. So when Krishna says, they're all mudhas, right, it's a heavy, but that's what they are. If you think that that's what he is, then that's what you are. Like that. So Krishna, he spoke this final instruction to Uddhava. And then Uddhava, he left, and then he travelled back up to Bhadrik Ashram. And on the way, he went to Bhadrik Ashram, and then Maitreya travelled up towards, where was Maitreya? In Hardwar, I think. And then that's where Vidura came and met Maitreya. After Vidura meets Uddhava, Uddhava says, go and speak to Maitreya. And he speaks to Maitreya, and then the third canto. Is spoken, third canto, fourth canto, like that, those conversations like that. So here it is being described, says in this verse, Uddhava is speaking, and we have to understand Uddhava's position. Uddhava is the topmost member of the Yadu dynasty. He is of all the Yadus, as described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, of all the Yadus, he is the most intimate with Krishna. He is Krishna's, what is his relationship? Yeah, he's Krishna's cousin. Right? He's Krishna's cousin, but he's also Krishna's most intimate friend in Dwarka. He's his advisor. Krishna often asks him for advice. God asks someone for advice. What should I do today? I'm not sure what I should do. You know, a little bit confused. You know, I just created Saturn and Jupiter last night, and I'm a little bit tired, so I'm not sure. What should I do? Like that. He doesn't actually need advice, but this is his lila, because he likes to glorify the devotees. That's what the Bhagavatam is about. It's about Krishna glorifying the devotees. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. The Bhagavad Gita is about Krishna glorifying Arjuna, like that. So he likes to glorify Uddhava. So then he says, Uddhava, what should I do? What do you think I should do? And Uddhava says, I'm not qualified to answer, but if you're asking my opinion, then I think you should do like that. Krishna said, very good advice. So he is revered by Krishna, Krishna's most intimate friend. And he is so close to Krishna, he would not eat anything unless it was left by Krishna. He only eats Krishna's remnants, like us. We don't eat anything unless it's offered to Krishna. When it's offered to Krishna, then we take it. Like that. It's called prasad. But he would not eat anything unless it was directly off Krishna's plate. Like whatever Krishna left as remnants, that is what Uddhava would eat. He wouldn't eat anything else. And he wouldn't wear anything else unless it was what Krishna had worn. Because when you're a powerful king, you don't wear the same clothes twice. Right? In that culture back then. Like they were so powerful. They'd only wear clothes once. You know, because they were powerful warriors, powerful rulers like that. So Krishna, he just wears something once, and then at the end of the day, then he gives it to his servants, who should now distribute it throughout the kingdom. Right? In the Vedic culture, that's how the sudras were maintained. The sudras were maintained because they were given the remnants of the higher classes, like that. Whatever that was left over, you know, whatever clothes they did not want, whatever utensils they did not want, anything they did not want, then you give it to the sudras, and that's how the sudras are maintained. It's actually mentioned within Vedic culture, you never give Shudras money. They don't get money. Because you see now, which age are we in now? Special one. Called Kali Yuga. Kali means black, dark age, iron age, age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Right? In this age, practically everyone is kalo sudro sambhav. Everyone is practically sudra. Right? All sudras, practically. A few vaishyas in between, making the rest of them work and taking their money. That's basically what you've got left. So, in Vedic culture, you don't give sudras money.
Because what do they do with it? They just break the regulative principles. You see what happens? Everyone gets their money, and what do? Go to Crown Casino, right? Go to the bar, go to the brothel. Not everyone, but you look at, by and large, this is what everyone does. They just break the regulative principles. So you don't give them money. They have no right to have money because they misuse it. You see what happens? You give them money, they misuse it. They shouldn't have money like that. They just get the remnants of the higher classes, right? You give them some plates, you give them some cutlery, you build them a little cottage like that, and then that's enough. They can have that. They serve obediently, and they get looked after. They get nice facility. You know, they eat nicely. They get nice room. They're wearing the king's remnants. It's not like they're living a bad life. But you don't give them. You're going to give them money, and they don't ride in vehicles. You don't give them chariots, right? The chariots are only for the Kshatriyas. And maybe the very powerful Vaishyas may ride around in chariots like that. Brahmanas generally walk. Brahmanas don't get into chariots. They generally walk. Sometimes they might get on a chariot with a king or something, but generally they walk like that. So Kshatriyas, they ride in chariots, right? And the Vaishyas, some of the powerful Vaishyas ride in chariots. But the Shudras never ride in chariots. And look now, what happens? Everyone's got a chariot. Right? Everyone's got their own car. And what do? Nonsense. Right, as soon as you give them a car, they just misuse it. They get a vehicle, now they go here, they go there, they can travel. They have independence. And that, what do they do with their independence? They just misuse it. Right? So they don't have money, they don't have vehicles. That's the system, that's the standard. Like that. So, Uddhava, he would only eat what Krishna gave him, his remnants, and he would only wear what Krishna had worn. Like that's how attached to Krishna he was. And he was so Krishna conscious, Uddhava was so Krishna conscious, what colour did he turn? Right? Sham. Right? Same colour as Krishna. Right? You know that you really love Krishna when you start turning the same colour as him. That's when you know you really love Krishna. Right? So absorbed in him that you start turning the same colour as him. And then Uddhava became Shyam. He was same as Krishna. Right? Why? Because when Krishna sent Uddhava back to Vrindavan with a message for the gopis, when the gopis first saw him, they said, Krishna has come back. You know, when they saw him in the distance, they said, Krishna has come back, because he's wearing all of Krishna's clothes. Right? Yellow dhoti and exactly like Krishna. And he was dark. And then they said, no, it's not Krishna. So this was the position that Uddhava had attained by Krishna consciousness. He was the most advanced devotee. So it describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Narad Muni was looking for the most advanced devotee. So he went to the Brahmana in South India. The Brahmana in South India said, the king in North India is more advanced than me. So he went to the king in North India. The king in North India said, the king of heaven, Indra, is more advanced than me. So he went to Indra. Indra said, Brahma is more advanced than me. He went to Brahma. Brahma said, Shiva is more advanced than me. He went to Shiva. Shiva said, Prahlad is more advanced than me. He went to Prahlad. Prahlad said, Hanuman is more advanced than me. He went to Hanuman. Hanuman said, the Pandavas are more advanced than me. He went to the Pandavas. The Pandavas said, the Yadavas, the Yadu dynasty, they're more advanced than us. So they went to the Yadu dynasty. The Yadu dynasty said, Uddhava is the most advanced, that of all of us. He went to Uddhava and he said, so you must be the greatest devotee. And Uddhava said, I used to think I was the person who had the most love for Krishna. I couldn't imagine that anyone would love Krishna more than me. I could not imagine. I love Krishna so much, I couldn't imagine anyone else could love him more. And then he sent me to Vrindavan. And then that was it. I realized I didn't love him. Because when I got to Vrindavan, I saw what love is. So that's what the whole Bhagavatam is about. The whole Bhagavatam is about getting to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Because what's in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam? It's the love of the bridge bhasis. That is the culmination of the science of God, of the tattva of God, of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings culminate in that the love of the residents of Vrindavan is the highest of all. And then amongst the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis are the highest of all. And amongst the gopis is one particular gopi. He was the highest of all. So that is called Srimati Radharani. That is the essence of existence. Radha's love for Krishna, Radharani's love for Krishna, that is the essence of existence. Nothing goes higher, nothing goes beyond that. So much so that Krishna himself has to experience that love. So then he takes the form of Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Na'i Anya. Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Because next week is Gaurapanina. How many sleeps? This is better than Christmas. Better than Christmas. Not that. Christmas is okay. Christmas is not that good, actually. Actually, Christmas is boring. Jesus is interesting. But Christmas is boring. But Gaurapanina, we can't wait. Only 1 week to go. And we are benedicted. Banu Swami, His Holiness, Banu Swami, and His Holiness, Madhava Maharaj, will be here. Like that. So, how ecstatic will it be? The day that Mahaprabhu appeared within this world. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. One time, Krishna was sitting with Srimati Radharani. And Krishna said to Srimati Radharani, I want to experience what you experience. Because I understand that what you experience is more ecstatic than what I experience. So I want to experience what you experience. I want to understand three things. I want to understand the glories of your love. How much you love me. I can't perceive that. I can't understand how much you love me. The glories of your love. I want to understand that. And I want to understand what is it in me that is so sweet. Madhurya means sweet. What is it in me that is so sweet that attracts you so much? I can't understand it. So therefore I need to become you in order to understand what I am. And then, finally, I want to understand the bliss that only you experience by your love for me. Experience the sweetness that is within me. So Radharani said to Krishna, she said, you can take my mood, you can take my bhav. Bhav means my mood. But if you take my bhav, if you take my mood, you will not be able to contain it. You will not be able to control yourself. And you'll begin to crash around on the ground in ecstasy. So then she said, what I will do is that when you take my mood, my bhav, I will give you my duty. My duty means my complexion. In other words, I will cover my body around your body. So that when you fall to the ground, I will protect you. My body will be surrounding your body. So when you fall, you will not feel any, because it will break my heart if I see you hurt yourself like that. So then, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, the Radha and Krishna combined. It is Krishna, but with the mood and with the complexion of Srimati Radharani. That is Mahaprabhu. So you see in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when he would do kirtan, he would jump in the air and he was 7 foot tall. You see the Panchatattva in Mayapur, 7 foot tall, is what Mahaprabhu was like. 7 foot tall, and when he put his arms in the air, his hands were 12 inches. His hands must have been like that. That's just his hand. And during his pastimes, you see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when devotees were taking prasad, he would serve prasadam with his own hands to all the devotees. He'd pick up all the Jagannath prasad and he would go along the line and serve it with his own hands. And because his hands were so big, he would give enough prasadam to each devotee for 7 men, and everyone would eat it up to the neck. Not every day, but, or maybe every day, but it's different there. They've got a spiritual body. If we eat that much every day, then it will be a different experience. But that's how much he would give everyone. And then he would say, hurry, hurry. And all the devotees would say, hurry, hurry. And then he would say, take prasad. But no one would eat because he was serving. No one would eat before the Lord eats. So Swarup Damodar would have to come and say, please sit down. Because until you sit down and eat, no one else will eat. So then he would sit down, he would take prasad, and he'd say, hurry, hurry. And everyone would say, hurry, hurry. And then they'd all begin to take prasad in ecstasy. Everyone had enough for seven men. That's how you get purified in Puri. It says that when you go to Vrindavan, you get purified by the dust, the Braj Raj. When you go to Mayapur, you get purified by Naam, Sankirtan, by chanting the holy name. And when you go to Puri, you get purified by Jagannath Prasad. So when we go to Puri, then we take as much Jagannath Prasad as we can, up to the neck, like that. And then you wake up in the morning and it's all digested. It's all gone, like that. And then you do it again, if you can, like that. So Mahaprabhu, he was so tall and he would dance in ecstasy in Kirtan. And when he would dance, he would crash to the ground. And when he would crash to the ground, the devotees would think, when he hit the ground, they'd think every bone in his body must have broken. That's how he would crash. And he would dance in ecstasy like that during the Rath Yatra and during his kirtans in Puri. And then in the middle of the kirtan, he'd just crash to the ground. And all the devotees would just, they'd practically give up their life seeing him hit the ground so hard. When he was in Mayapur, when he used to have kirtans in Mayapur, when Mother Sachi, she would see him crash to the ground, right, and practically look like every bone in his body must have been broken. Hit the ground so hard, right, she would just practically give up her life, seeing him like in this condition, right. And then he would get up again, and then he'd get up and he'd stand up again, and then he would begin to dance again because he's the supreme lord. So Srimati Radharani, she covers Krishna's body, so that with her complexion. So that when Krishna hits the ground, then he will not feel any discomfort. Radharani takes that for him. Now, Radharani cannot feel any discomfort either, like that. But the point is, that's love. That is love. That is what prema is. Love means, idam Krishnaya, idam na mama. Nothing for me. Right? Everything for Krishna. That is love. Not that I'm thinking about myself all the time. That is not love. Love means I only think about Krishna. That's what Radharani thinks. That's how she feels. That is her bhav. Bhav means that is her mood in her service to Krishna. She only thinks about Krishna. She doesn't care anything for herself. Right? That is what love means. Just like the famous story is there that Narad Muni was trying to find the best devotee. So Krishna said, you'll find the best devotee. Go and ask all the devotees. Just tell all the devotees I have a headache today. And the only way to relieve my headache is if I get the dust of my devotees' feet upon my head. So Narad went to visit all the different devotees. And he said, please, the Lord has a headache today. Please give the dust from your feet to put on his head, and that will relieve his headache. So he went to all the devotees, and all the devotees said, no, go to hell. Imagine if Chinchurupa Mataji came and she said to you, please give me some of the dust from your feet so I can put on Balava's head. Right? Would anyone do it? No? Would you take the dust from your feet and put it on Balava's head? Right? None of us would do that. No? But as soon as the gopis, Narada came to the gopis, all the other devotees, they did not want to give the dust. But then he came and said, Krishna has a headache today. And the gopis said, what headache? No? He says, he has a headache today. And he's not feeling well. And he said, what do we have? What can we do? And then Narada said, he needs the dust of his devotees' feet. They said, take it immediately. Like that. And Narada said, you're not concerned. You will go to hell. You'll get reactions. They said, we'll go to hell for lifetimes. You just give the dust to his. So that is bhakti. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching. That is pure devotional service. Right? This was shown in this world to us by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the perfect representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada showed us the emblem of what is pure devotional service. Just like we saw in Prabhupada's pastimes, that when Prabhupada in 1977, right, in November of 1977, what day did Prabhupada leave this world?
14th of November, 1977, 7:25 in the evening. Right? So in November of 1977, the devotees were coming into Prabhupada's room every day, and they would quietly do kirtan in the corner. Right? Small group, Jagadish Prabhu and Brahmananda Prabhu and different devotees, they'd be in the corner. And they'd just do slowly, softly do kirtan all day, 24-hour kirtan for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he was very physically, he was very unwell. You know, his pastimes were finishing, and his material body was about to leave, like that, about to finish. So he was very unwell. So he was there, and Brahmananda Prabhu was chanting in the corner, softly, for Prabhupada, with a small group of devotees. And Brahmananda Prabhu had been a little bit sick the last few days because he had some flu or cold or something, and the devotees, you know, they said, Prabhupada said, where is Brahmananda? And they said, oh, he's a little bit sick, so maybe he hadn't been coming as much to be with Prabhupada. So he was in the corner, he was leading kirtan, and Prabhupada said, who is leading kirtan? And they said, Brahmananda. And then Prabhupada said, and he said, Brahmananda, he said, I've heard you've been sick. Like that. So that is love. Right? Prabhupada's about to leave this world. Right? Prabhupada's body is so frail that he's about to leave this world. And he's asking Brahmananda, are you okay? Right? That is love. Right? That's what Prabhupada came to teach us. That is love. Right? So that is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the mood of Srimati Radharani. Right? How do we understand these things? We understand the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We understand the resonance of Vrindavan. We understand the love of Srimati Radharani through our spiritual master. Because the way our spiritual master was dedicated, right, to following, he made his life and soul the order of his spiritual master. That is love. Prabhupada said, don't try to find Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. You know, you can go to Vrindavan and walk around, you know, calling out, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? Yeah. Krishna may or may not appear. Prabhupada said, don't try to find Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Try to find him in the order of your spiritual master. That's how you meet Krishna. You want to meet Krishna face to face? Hands up if you want to meet Krishna face to face. Okay. So if you want to meet him face to face, that's how you meet him face to face. You meet him face to face by following the order of your spiritual master as your life and soul. And Prabhupada guarantees that you will meet Krishna face to face by following the order of the Guru perfectly as your life and soul. So Srila Prabhupada says, you just, in this lifetime, follow the four regulative principles, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and every day chant minimum 16 rounds Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively, and at the end of this life, whatever you are lacking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come and he will cover everything you're lacking. He will take you back to Goloka Vrindavan. Right? What an offer. You can't get that anywhere else. Right? You can't get that from IBM, from Coca-Cola, from McDonald's, from Barack Obama, from Kevin Rudd, from what's the rich guy called?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Who's going to get? What can anyone give you in this world? No one can give you anything, right? Who can give? Even you meet Kuvera, no, the treasurer of the demigods. What can he give you? No one can give you anything. But Prabhupada, he can take you back to Goloka Vrindavan in this lifetime. There's no one else who has this power. Right? All the power was given to Prabhupada by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in Bombay and he had to have a hernia operation. And Prabhupada didn't want him to have it in India. He wanted to have the operation in America. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to the hospital. I can't remember all the details behind the pastime, but he went to the hospital and he had the operation. And when Prabhupada heard
that Tamal Krishnamurti had gone to the hospital in Bombay to have the operation. He got in the jeep and drove across Bombay for 1 hour in the hot sun without a roof on the jeep to stop the operation. Right? So Prabhupada got to the hospital, the operation was already finished. He already had the operation. So then Tamal Krishnamurti was unconscious, and Prabhupada sat next to his bed, and then about 3 hours later or something, then Tamal Krishnamurti, she woke up. And then Prabhupada said, "How are you?" and like that. And then Tamal Krishnamurti said, "I had a dream." And Prabhupada said, "What was that dream?" And he said, "In the dream, you were giving a report to all the previous acharyas, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Gorkhasodas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannathdas Babaji Maharaj." He said, "You were giving a report. And you said to them that the preaching is going well down here on earth." And he said that the residents of Kali Yuga, they have no qualification. He said they have no ability to do austerity. They're not clean. They have practically no memory. Practically no intent. He said they practically have no qualification. So then Prabhupada said they have one qualification. Somehow or other, they are attached to my lotus feet. So then Prabhupada heard that dream. And he said to Tamal Krishnamurti, he said, "Actually, it is a fact. Actually, it's a fact. That's our only qualification. If we become attached to Prabhupada's lotus feet, who is the empowered representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the empowered representative of Srimati Radharani, at the end of this life, whatever is lacking, we can go back to Godhead. You can't get that anywhere else. There's nowhere else you can get this. So, if we are a little intelligent, then we will spend the rest of our lives dedicated through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times, right? Because sometimes will be good and sometimes will not be good, but we don't leave. We don't leave. We stay, right? We have no other home, right? We're ISKCON devotees. That's what we are. Just like in the war in the Second World War, the Germans were bombing England. So then Winston Churchill, he was the leader of the country, and he kept the whole country together. The country was being bombed heavily. I mean, they were on their knees. They were really, the Germans almost took over England. I mean, it was serious. they were really in that. So Churchill, he got everyone, he rallied everyone just by his spirit, his determination. We will not lose, we will win. That was his spirit. He had a good spirit. So, we will win, we will not lose. And he said, "England, with all thy faults, you are my home." So we're not going to run away, we're not going to leave, we're just going to stay here, and it doesn't matter what happens, they can bomb us, you know, but we're just going to stay here and we're going to live here, and this is our home, and we are determined and we will win. So that is how the devotees have to be. We stay here, and ISKCON goes through good times, goes through bad times. Hare Baba. That's the material world. It's going to happen anyway. Right? You think it's easier out there? Go out there and be a kami. Right? You think our lives are tough? You go out there and see what they're going through, man. Like nothing compared to what we go through. So just stick here. You go through the good times, you go through the bad times, so be it. But ISKCON is our home. We don't go anywhere else. And you'll die, right, in ISKCON. And when you die, there'll be devotees sitting around your bed, softly chanting Hare Krishna, right? And you'll look at a picture of Prabhupada or a picture of Krishna, or you'll have a Govardhan Shila on your head, and you'll go back to the spiritual world. Right? How many years ago was it? 2 years ago? 1 year? Two? I think it was 2 years ago. We went to Mayapur in Kartik. And there was one devotee there, his name was Nirguna Prabhu, his disciple was Srila Prabhupada. And he left his body the ninth day of Kartik, just after Bahulashtami, just after the appearance of Radhakund. So he had been a book distributor all his life, distributing Prabhupada's books. Very selfless devotee, dedicated his life to following Prabhupada's order, stayed in ISKCON his whole life, went through thick and thin, kept preaching, kept distributing Prabhupada's books. And then he got a tumour behind his heart, just kind of in here, behind his heart, and the doctors couldn't do anything about it.
It was just in between his heart and his spine. They couldn't physically get to it. So he just had to accept his destiny. So within 6 months, his body began to deteriorate. So he went to Mayapur, and the devotees looked after him in Mayapur. And then he was leaving this world. And then when we got there about 3 days before he left this world, and we were going to see him every day, and his body was like Prabhupada's. At the end of his life, his body was just bones and skin. And he was there, and devotees were coming every day, and they were chanting constantly and talking to him and keeping him, you know, his spirits up and preaching to him and like that. And then about 3 days before he left this world, Harisori Prabhu was sitting next to him. And Harisori Prabhu was reading from his diary about Prabhupada. And then in the middle of while he was reading, then Nirguna Prabhu, he said, "Take your peace and go." Right? And then Harisori Prabhu came close to him and he said, "What did you say?" And he said, "Take your peace and go." And he said, "What does that mean?" And he said that in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, just said to him, he said, "Take your peace, take your little Sheila from Govardhan Hill and go and join the pastimes. You're a Manjari. You're a maidservant of Radha." He was actually told the devotees. He said, "In the spiritual world, I'm a Manjari." Like that. So Govardhan Hill said, "This is your eternal service to Krishna. You are one of the maidservants of Radharani. Take your Govardhan Sheila and enter the pastimes. Take your peace and go." Govardhan Hill spoke to him. And then 3 days later, left this world while Korman Prabhu was leading Kirtan. Korman Prabhu led Kirtan for 9 hours straight before, because everyone knew he was about to leave this world. For 9 hours, from 2 o'clock in the morning to about 11 o'clock in the morning, just leading Kirtan. And Korman Prabhu said, "It was probably the only Kirtan in my life I didn't get tired." Mm-hmm. By Krishna's mercy, like that. And then he left this world. So that's what will happen to us. We pray that we will die and there will be devotees around us softly chanting. And if we stay here in ISKCON and we do follow the regulative principles, chant our rounds strictly, right, with bhakti, with devotion, give it our best shot, then someone will look after us at the end of our life. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on what we discussed? I can't remember what the details were, but there was some, he was booked in to have the operation, and then Prabhupada said he didn't want him to have it in India, and I think Prabhupada went to a different city, and then Tamal Krishnamaraj, I think because it was very
painful,
then he went to have the operation, and Prabhupada arrived back in Bombay that morning. Prabhupada said, "Where's Tamal?" And they said he's in the hospital, so he drove to the hospital to stop the operation. He didn't want him to have, but everything was fine. The operation went fine and he was okay. But Prabhupada wanted him to have the operation in America. Any other question or comment?
Duty.
Yeah. Luster. Effulgence. Luster.
So Radha duty means the luster of Radha.
Yeah, duty. D-Y-U-T-I.
Yeah,
duty.
Yeah.
Like that. So it means like the luster or the effulgence. Like that. So it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first 5 verses, describes Mahaprabhu's appearance in the Adi Leela. Describes that Krishna took the bath, which means the mood, the sentiment, and the duty or the luster of Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna. No, he's the combined form. He's Krishna, but he has Radharani's mood and her luster, like that. So.
There's one devotee for another
duty. Yeah. The luster or the effulgence of Radharani, the servant of Radharani's effulgence. Any other questions?
Yes, Nirguna Prabhu, you were saying he was told to take beads.
No, Sheila, Govardhan Sheila. So in the spiritual world, then Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, spoke to him and said, "Take your Sheila, take one piece," he said, "Take your piece and go." So take your Sheila
carry one Srila and go. Because you'll see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was here in his Bulma pastimes, his earthly pastimes, he had one Govardhan Srila, and he would always, when he was chanting, he'd be holding that Srila, and he would press it into his eyes, right, and hold it to his head, and he'd cry tears of ecstasy on that Srila. And then he gave that Srila to Raghunath Das Goswami, like that. So the devotees, they carry Govardhan Srilas, they keep Govardhan Srilas, like that. So then Giriraj said to Nirguna Prabhu, he said, take your piece and go enter the pastimes. He had permission to enter into the pastimes. Okay. Any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.